live and via podcast. Just click listen, then swipe right and hear the latest news updates on your time. And scroll down to hear the latest podcasts from Fox News. And it's even easier to listen in the car with Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. Get programming alerts and notifications. Fox News Audio is on the Fox News app, the voices America trusts. Download it now. First with news, first with information. This is Breaking News, 94.9 News Now.
I'm Jim O'Reilly. New London's grand list, or its total value of taxable property, went up by roughly 4.6% in 2022 compared to 2021. Mayor Passero says the percentage is based on the grand list from last year, which was adjusted to include tax appeals and court settlements that backlogged during the COVID-19 pandemic. After subtracting exempt property, the city's net grand list, including real estate, personal property, and motor vehicles, was at $1.6 billion as of October 1st of last year. Tax-exempt properties totaled $958.9 million, a 1.6% increase from before. The city's top taxpayer, Electric Boat. Newly proposed legislation would provide the possibility of a life sentence for those convicted of domestic violence murders. State Rep. Holly Cheeseman of East Lyme introduced the bill on behalf of the family of 25-year-old East Lyme resident Karina Zukowski, the woman brutally stabbed to death by her boyfriend, Avery Hallbrooks, in 2018 at the former Starlight Inn Motel in Niantic. New London police seizes 3.1 grams of fentanyl, a gun, and more from a home on Coleman Street early Friday. The cops, search warrant in hand, check out Luis Ojeda's place. Ammunition, $993, and drug paraphernalia are also found in the raid. Ojeda is accused of a list of drugs and weapons charges in the case. State and local officials are working together at this hour. In East Lyme, a mix of 43 houses and townhomes along 301 acres of preserved land is being proposed in the north end of town as part of what officials call an open space play that leverages land conservation and affordable housing. The plan is on the 12-acre property owned by South Carolina-based Duval Partners, and it was submitted to the zoning department in early March. Showers with highs in the low 40s. When news breaks, we break in. I'm Jim O'Reilly, 94.9 News Now, and Stimulating Talk.
What are you doing, Carrie?
It's called work. You should try it sometime, Tam.
Well, my furniture is so beautiful, it sells itself.
That's what I thought. I strive to help people with all the stove and fireplace options here at Preston Trading Post. Well, you just decorate and pick fabrics.
Are you kidding? We just added Amish-made kitchen islands, and there must be 1,000 design options with those alone.
Well, I guess you do work. A little.
It's our 48th year of doing next to nothing, but we do it for the love of it, and we do it all for you.
The Barn and Groton is the area's best place to see live music from some of the best bands from all over New England every weekend. On Monday is bingo night from 7 to 9 p.m. and it's service industry night. If you work in the service industry, get 20% off your bill every Monday night. The Barn also has a new menu featuring paninis, soups, salads, pizza, and wings. Can't make it to the Barn? Pick up the Barn Brew Company's Haze for Horses IPAs at Big Y or any local package store. The Barn at New England Hemp Farm, Fort Hill Road in Groton. For more, visit barnct.com.
Don't ghost us, and we won't ghost you. 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk. Online at 949newsnow.com.
Hot air.
Real Estate Radio, Chaz Cook of the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate. And this week, I am joined by co-founder and longtime friend of the show, Nicole White. How are you? And
morning.
Welcome back.
Thank you. It's been a while.
It has been a while.
Like at least a year.
No, it was over the summer because it was right after you started the Sarah Project.
That's almost a year.
Almost a year. Yeah. Okay.
I'm hoping it's summer. That's what I'm doing. I'm wishing away the winter.
There you go. So how is that going? Because I know you were just getting into it. You're trying to line up developers. We're talking a little bit about that off air. Where do we kind of stand with that house?
We're still renovating it. I wish I could say that I sold it and made millions off of it, but I haven't yet. I'm hoping that it'll hit the market by the end of this month. That's my goal. It's been, again, like a slow moving, much like everyone has problems with, you know, labor and love and getting, you know, people to show up. But it's going great. It's been amazing, the outpouring of support in the community, you know, chipping in to help us get this house done. So we're almost there.
And the Sarah Project directly supports the Sarah Foundation, correct?
True.
And
yep.
So 100% of the proceeds of the sale of this house are going to help their different programs, their day programs and their housing for individuals with special
needs.
That
is true. Yeah. And I think your wife works for the Sarah Foundation, right?
She does. She does. She works at one of their day programs in Westbrook, Connecticut.
So awesome.
Very
yeah.
Close.
Very cool. Yeah. So, yeah. So once we sell it, yep, 100% will go to the foundation. Yep.
Okay. And the house is in North Brantford, and we're hoping in like 4 weeks or so.
Oh my
weeks?
Gosh. Stop, Chaz. I hope like two. I have the cleaners coming next week.
Okay.
But I heard that I have a leak in the tub this morning.
Oh,
so I have to open up a wall, but we're close. We're close. Yeah.
Well, we'll have to have you back once it hits the market.
Please.
So that
yeah.
you can tell us a little bit about some of the features, because we don't want to give that away yet. We kind of got to keep the suspense building a little bit.
But if anybody is interested, I do want to sell it. So if you're looking in North Brantford at 400,000.
Right.
That's the spot.
So North Brantford, 400,000. They can follow you at Nicole White CT
That's me.
Instagram.
Yep.
So if they want to get updates on that, we did just see a great picture of the backsplash went in.
Yep.
And
yes.
We ran into a couple of tile issues, but we worked through those as well.
We've been working through all of our issues.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yep.
And today you brought another special guest with us.
We did.
Phil Bowman from Pinnacle Land Development, not Pinnacle Development.
Nope.
Pinnacle Land Development out of Cheshire.
Right.
Cheshire, Connecticut. Yep. Phil, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Welcome to Real Estate Radio. We on 94.9. We've got an avid crew of listeners out there, and we are always excited to bring an industry guest on who can share some of their personal insights about their company, as well as tell us a different perspective about what they're seeing in the market. So, Phil, I did a little homework on you. Not Pinnacle Development, but Pinnacle Land Development.
Of course.
So you are the founder and proprietor with over 20 years of background and experience in the building industry as a full-service real estate developer. So
correct.
How does that kind of play out? What services do you guys offer?
So we're primarily single-family home builders. We'll buy raw pieces of land, develop them, get them entitled, build the houses. We'll also build on, spot lots, single lots for people, either that we own or that people bring to us. We've done several multi-use projects, a mix of retail and residential. We're actually starting or have started a multifamily project in Cheshire, which will be
rentals,
all rentals.
Tons, lots.
Yeah.
How many units?
This portion is 15 units, and then we have some adjoining parcels of land where we will be adding units as time goes on.
Was that the plan when you got the land, or was it originally for a different use?
So actually, it was for a different use. Originally, we were going to put a medical office building on the land.
Oh, so you're right near the high school there.
We're north of the high school. It's on South Main Street.
Okay.
It's just off South Main Street. It's called Old Town Road.
Okay.
But it's right off South Main Street. So the original intent was to put a medical office building there. And, over time things happened. So we pivoted and got the approvals for the multifamily and broke ground on the first building. Yeah, we've had great interest. We have a wait list.
Awesome.
Of people.
You guys should do very well with that. We covered it a couple of weeks back. So the state of Connecticut has the lowest vacancy rate for rentals in the entire country at 2%.
I believe it.
So building some affordable housing.
There's no inventory in Cheshire, and I'm sure Guilford's the same way.
Oh, well, unfortunately, there's just not many apartments. I mean, because these are essentially kind of like apartment style, right?
Correct. So for both, honestly, in Cheshire, there's very few apartments available. And there's also very few houses in general available.
Yeah, of course.
It's just.
Yeah. Well, you guys actually got pretty lucky up in Cheshire. I feel like you're able to scoop up land still up there.
Yes, few and far between. It's becoming less available, and usually a lot of the stuff that is available has some issues you have to work through.
Right.
Either old farms that have farm domes, definitely wetlands. Slope topography, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because again, I feel like down here it's so rare to find land.
A big piece of land that can
and a usable piece of land.
Oh, right.
You can find an acre, but a quarter of it's buildable, and the rest of it's not.
Right. Well, and again, obviously for you that is looking for a development too. It's not. I mean, you need acreage.
You need acreage, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the single lots here or there are nice as fill-ins, but predominantly we're looking for acreage to build larger developments.
How many developments are you on right now?
Four single family home developments, and then the apartment buildings.
So you're busy.
And then we have a few pieces that we have under contract now where we're in our due diligence period. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of surveyors are out. We're delineating wetlands, doing soil tests for septics and stuff like that. So.
And so through all of these different developments you have going on, the various projects, you were still actually able to be involved with the Sarah project and kind of help Nicole out with that. So how do you find time with all, you know, your hands in all these different baskets to still be able to give back to your community like that?
So I feel like we have a good office staff that enables me to free up time to partake in stuff like this. And we have, you know, a lot of our subcontractors we've worked with for, you know, my whole time building. So I've been building on my own for about 15 years. Mm-hmm. And then my father's been a builder developer for about 45 years.
Do you have exclusivity to your peeps?
No. I mean, no one's signed as like, right. You know, right. You can't work for anyone else.
But if you're like, yo, I need you like tomorrow,
yeah,
they're like,
usually,
okay, Bill.
You keep them busy enough for your names at the top of the list.
We try to roll them right into the next project so that they kind of are always working.
Of course.
One of our projects. But if we do need to break someone out, you know, to help somewhere else, it's usually.
I feel like that's important though for buyers to know too, because there's lots of builders that call themselves builders, but I just don't think that they really have established like relationships with their vendors. So it's
a great
everything
word.
Takes like mm-hmm. so long because there's just not that mutual like respect, you know.
The respect, one, there's just not as many subcontractors, and you had kind of touched on it with the Sarah project,
right?
There's a lack of skilled labor,
yeah,
and not only in Connecticut but nationwide, which definitely is slowing the build process down,
mm-hmm. right?
So yeah, if we
And they follow the money. I mean,
so there you go. So I feel like we pay on time.
Right.
I think we pay well, and you know, they know what we expect, and vice versa.
Makes it easier.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It definitely does.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we got to catch a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit more about the One Tree Planted organization. When we come back on Real Estate Radio 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk.
You know we promise unbeatable prices with real customer service. But do you really know the value add the Burns Agency brings to you? We price and coverage shop your insurance with over 20 top-rated insurance companies. We offer real account managers who facilitate all your transactions, billing, policy changes, claims, audits, you name it. No 800 numbers, no call centers. One point of contact who knows your account. Call, chat us online, or stop in today to experience firsthand why you do buy better at Burns.
Is a car not a car? When it turns into a driveway, and that's what we're doing here at Central Auto Group, home of Ford, Mazda, Hyundai, Volkswagen, and pre-owned in the month of March. Putting dreams in driveways. Ford F-150s, Mazda CX-30s, Hyundai Tucson's, Volkswagen Tiguan's, just to name a few. Central has them all. Central has more cars in stock for immediate delivery. Drive a little and save a lot. If you want to sell your car, Central will pay you cash. Regardless of your credit, Central Auto Group works the hardest to get you approved. Shop 24/7 at CentralAutoGroupCG.com. Exit 28 off I-395 in Plainfield.
Your number one buying destination, Central Auto Group.
Real Estate Radio, Chaz Cook and Nicole White of the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate. And we are joined by our very special guest, Phil Bowman, founder and proprietor of Pinnacle Land Development. And right before we went to break, Phil, I was starting to ask you about the One Tree Planted organization, where you've committed to planting 100 new trees for every home that you build. Can you tell us a little bit more about that, kind of the dynamics of it, where you plant those trees and how you select that?
Sure. So this is a program that we've been involved with for probably the last 5 years. It's an organization. We actually found them online, and they, you know, we pay money and they go and replant trees, and you can pick a specific region. We tend to choose the Pacific Northwest because that's where a lot of the fir trees that we use in our houses come from. So for every, like you said, every home we build, we'll replant 100 trees. Sometimes we add on top of that, because our developments, sometimes we are clearing quite a bit of hardwood. Mm-hmm. So we'll add on top of that for like the road that goes in and the sidewalks and all that.
So I'll give you my address for the next 100 trees.
Yeah.
Right. I could easily feel my backyard.
See, right? See if they're coming there.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to see my neighbors.
White residents.
Yeah, why not?
So could you actually do that? I know you mentioned the Pacific Northwest, but could you dedicate somewhere, say, in Connecticut that they're trying to, you know, kind of regrow some of the lost trees? I mean, I know out in the Northwest they have the fires and everything, and that
right.
takes a big impact. But here in New England, you know, we get a lot of storms, so we do lose a fair amount of trees, and a lot of the trees here are also, well, we're going to call them older, right, for lack
they
of
are,
a better term.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't believe so. So they give you geographic regions on okay. their website where you can have, you know, allocate your purchase of trees towards. I don't believe Connecticut's in that.
I doubt it.
Doubt it, right.
That geographic yeah. area. Maybe one day.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We'd have to figure out a way to tax it first, though. So, Phil, you have a ton going on. You're working on all of these different projects, and a lot of builders in Connecticut and even in New England are slow, but you seem to be pushing ahead full steam ahead. How are you managing that, and what are you doing to stay busy and to keep developing at a time where a lot of builders are having challenges, whether it be skilled labor, whether it be zoning, taxes, all of the above?
So I think we give ourselves enough runway in between projects or as projects evolve and become built out. Mm-hmm. We're constantly searching for new opportunities, new land. I think we have a pretty good pulse on how long the entitlement process would take. And I think that's why we've been able to stay consistently busy, definitely steady, mm-hmm. While some, you know, builders may be slowing down a little bit. On the same token, I do think that there's still a lot of demand in Connecticut for new construction.
Absolutely.
Definitely at the higher end. I've actually been a little bit surprised at how strong the higher end markets remained. So I think that's,
and I think it's important for obviously the listeners, especially of Connecticut, to hear, because I feel like, you know, in the national news, it's always talking about, you know, like new home builders confidence is down.
Right. And, historic lows.
But at the end of the day, no one even knows what the frig that means. Like, what is that? Like, I mean, obviously, like us in the real estate business know what it means. Like, there's like a survey that goes out, right? And like they ask the builders how they feel, right? It's like
correct.
Good, poor, bad.
Yeah, your sentiment.
Right, which again, it's like, I feel like that's like all surveys.
Right.
Like, who are the 100 people that you ask?
And are they diving into it? Are they just saying, how do you feel? Or are they actually asking specific questions?
Right, but again, I mean, I don't, and I'm not here to mock that, because I think that it's a great indicator. I think that we're always lagging here on the East Coast. But I think, again, people are always grabbing the headlines. But here in Connecticut, it's like what you're saying is it's still moving. People still
Absolutely.
Want it.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm.
again, I guess people, where they start to hiccup a little bit, and again, you can correct me if I'm wrong, is add-ons, like extras, like, okay, I'm buying this for $500, but what are my additional costs really?
Right. What's my all-in number?
Right.
Right.
Which for us, we're full custom builders. It's very hard to tell someone mm-hmm. what their end number is going to be, because we don't know what they're going to pick. You know, we don't know if they're going to, you know, upgrade their kitchen $5,000 or $10,000, and you know, what they're going to spend on their tile and stuff like that. So
are you giving allowances?
We give allowances.
You work
right.
with allowances.
Base package.
Correct.
You would
all
that.
Of our contracts would have, you know, a base house, a base specification sheet for that house, and a base allowance package for mm-hmm. that house. And then, you know, whatever they deviate to. Our buyers are only paying the delta between the two, mm-hmm. you know, between what our base is versus what they upgrade to.
Correct.
Right. Are you seeing a slowdown now with rates at all? I mean, I know you're meeting someone today right after this.
Yeah. Again, higher end buyer. But yeah, definitely seeing a slowdown with rates. We have a couple projects that are in the upper sixes to like mid sevens. That price range has definitely slowed the activity, the phone calls and stuff. But again, you know, you talked about the survey in kind of on a national level. Like we all know real estate's local.
Right.
And the local Connecticut, I think, market is still very strong, very strong.
But again, you know probably better than I do because I concentrate mostly on the shoreline. Mm-hmm. But like, do you have a lot of competition?
Yeah, there's other builders.
Well, I know there's other builders, new neighborhoods that are going in. I feel like in Connecticut, it's not as common as like Texas, where they're building schools for these developments.
So from that perspective, no, there's not a lot of competition. Again, I just, you know, a lot of the bigger parcels are already built, or what's left is they're difficult to build on, to get approved and all that. And, Connecticut is, there's a lot of red tape, I guess, for lack of a better term.
So are you finding that if in like, I would call it more of a, like a niche scenario. So for example, the rental properties that you're building, those 15, right? You don't need as much land, so you can possibly find 10 acres, build those 15 rental units.
100%.
And then are you trying to balance between rentals and single family homes, or do you kind of do like a rental project, then move on to like a smaller development, again, of 5 to 7 homes?
No, right now we would do both. We wouldn't focus solely on one and kind of, you know, hold off on the other. So right now we're doing both. If we were to get into a larger single family development of like, you know, 20 or 25 homes, maybe we would put the brakes a little bit on the rental stuff. But okay. I think there's, you know, the rental project is something I've wanted to do for a long time.
Right.
And it's an infill project. So to your point, it's on a much smaller parcel of land, which I think is going to become more common, these kind of urban infill projects.
And outside of land, obviously being one of your biggest challenges, what are some of the other major challenges that you're experiencing in the building process or in the builder world?
So still materials, costs are still up and down quite a bit. Vendors not holding their prices for that long. Gotten somewhat used to it just because it's gone on now for a few years.
So lumber's come down though since the pandemic?
Significantly, actually. Yeah. So that's been the biggest, I guess, facet of the what goes into a building project in terms of price decrease. Mm-hmm. But others, you know, windows have gone up, doors have gone up, trim's gone up.
For sure.
So basically, they brought lumber down to raise everything else up.
I mean, great. I don't think they're all in collusion.
Yeah,
all in cahoots. But yeah, it's been interesting. Lumber's actually dropped more than I thought it would. And I've been a little surprised at some of the increases we've had with the other.
And time. I mean, to get windows right now, how long does it take you to get a window?
Depending on what type of window, a lot of our buyers are going with the black and black for the color.
Of course, which is like twice the price.
And we usually go with a Marvin Elevate window for that. And they're about 18 weeks when we order them.
18 weeks from start to finish.
From start to finish. Before you see them on site.
Right.
So we've had plenty of instances where we have a framed house with a roof that's on and we kind of just sit because we're not weather tight.
Oh, so you can't even start doing anything?
You can, especially as the weather gets nicer.
Nicer, yeah.
So you can, you know, but you can't run what we won't run wire without a weather tight house.
So what are you telling people? Like, what's your time frame?
From when we put a shovel in the ground to finish, depending on the type of house and the size of house, we're 8 to 9 months.
Okay. That's impressive. I mean, if you don't have permits and all before, it's probably longer,
longer.
So if you're just from contract.
From contract, could be 12 months.
Right. Because it's taking you a few. I mean, even though you have the development laid out, you need to get an individual permit.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Which usually takes at least a month.
Right.
So you're losing a month right there.
Yeah. Or if they want to change it or, you know.
Yeah, changes actually aren't, you know, we'll do a lot of the changes on the fly. That's not a big deal. Even for permitting processes, the town kind of understands that there's going to be field changes and stuff. But it's just, you know, again.
Obviously, super town specific, though, too. I'm sure you've built in other towns where it's taken more than 30 days.
It has.
Yeah.
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 That's correct.
Yeah. Again, just like to have everyone be, you know, super realistic.
There's
some builders who are like, yeah, I can do that in 9 months. I'm like, I actually would put $1 million on it that you don't.
Nine months from shoveling the ground was a great way to put it because the process is 12 to 14 months.
And, and we'll put that in our contract, that wording, that it's from excavation of the foundation.
Because you're also at the mercy. I mean, again, since you're building
permitting.
Well, and you're having to bring in like power to, correct, like, so you're at the mercy of
Eversource.
Right. Or,
so that was an issue. Actually, this past summer, we had a 11 lot subdivision that we're still finishing building out in Cheshire. And we had a closing in September, the first closing, and Eversource didn't set the final transformer until like the middle of August.
Right.
Wow.
So it was, you know, a lot of just running generators and hoping that they'd get
there.
So
patience. People need
patience.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like when you try and do anything, right, you have to respect the process, but also try and enjoy the process and not get caught up in how long the process takes, right? You're building a custom home. It should be a beautiful experience, right? You get to pick your own windows, you get to pick your own finishes and all those things, but maybe it takes an extra month, but at the same time, it's exactly what you want. So how do you have that conversation with a consumer?
Some you don't have to have. Some get it. And then there's some consumers that don't. They're very time conscious. Whether, you know, they could be in a rental that's expiring, right, or they could have a rate lock that's expiring.
Right. So rate locks.
Those have become a big thing, you know, with the expiring rate lock.
Are you ever offering to pay for their extensions?
In a very rare instance, we would.
Sorry, I mean to put you on the spot here.
No, that's okay. Yeah.
Everybody listening out there.
Yes, we have in the past.
Yeah.
Haven't run into many situations where we had to offer that.
Right.
But it's...
Because at the end of the day, you don't want to not be done with this, with their house.
We don't get paid until the house closes.
Right.
So
right,
there's every incentive from us to try to finish it as expeditiously as possible.
Absolutely.
To your point before, it's kind of like putting a puzzle together. You can't do certain things before others.
Right.
So, you know, if something's holding you up,
right,
you may not be able to go to, you know, step.
Right.
Five,
all your products
seven.
Can be in, all your contractors can be lined up, but if you don't have the transformer,
right, to power the house.
Right, to power the house.
So I guess at the end of the day, I mean, the number one thing here is just like ask a lot of questions. Like if you're meeting with a builder, if you want to build, ask a lot of questions.
Inform yourself as much as possible.
Right. And you like to meet with the buyers.
All the time.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, they have my cell number. They have, full access.
Work through that process with them.
Yes.
So this was an amazing experience for me because I haven't had the opportunity to work with a ton of builders yet. So hearing the insight, you know, from someone who's been in the business for 20 years was a pleasure. So thank you for coming in. And if people want to reach out to you, what's the best way to get in touch with you?
Probably through our website. It's www.pinlanddevelopment.com.
Or go on Instagram.
Or go on Instagram.
I mean, honestly, if you message him, he messages back. He'll start following you. I mean, you're on there.
Thanks.
Yeah. Unless
appreciate
it's like, is that an assistant or is that you? That's you.
No, it's sometimes me, sometimes it's someone else.
Okay.
Predominantly it's me.
But it's good. You guys are fast.
Yes.
Yeah, I love it.
Try to be very responsive.
Yeah.
So pinlanddevelopment.com, pinlanddevelopment.com. And Phil or one of his team will reach out to you ASAP, especially if you're looking to build in the Cheshire area, or if you're going to be looking to rent in the next couple of months, make sure you talk to Phil and the crew over at Pinnacle Land Development. We're going to be right back here on Real Estate Radio 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk.
I'm Carrot McHugh. What might this week's collapse of Silicon Valley Bank mean for the nation's economic future?
This could be a one-off for a small bank or a preview of what's to come, with the Fed signaling more aggressive rate hikes will continue. This bank had been a go-to for startups over the last 40 years, but rising interest rates and rising costs due to continued high inflation are leading many to take their money out to pay down expenses. Problem, of course, when too many clients do this and withdraw cash at once, which in this case forced the bank to sell bonds at a huge loss. And since the Federal Reserve is hiking rates, bonds are getting creamed. Of course, bond prices and interest rates move in opposite directions. Now, this bank had less cash to pay out to its clients. The fear right now is this could happen to other banks.
Fox's Lucas Tomlinson. Despite reports that the administration was ready to green light the massive Willow Alaskan oil project, the White House now says that no final decisions have been made. America is listening to Fox News.
Breaking news from 94.9 News Now.
I'm Jim O'Reilly. Governor Lamont announces the State Department of Transportation is launching a new public awareness campaign called One Wrong Move on the dangers of wrong-way driving. It is part of the state's larger strategy of reversing the recent increase in wrong-way crashes and deaths. The governor in July 2022 authorized the release of $20 million in state bond funding so the Department of Transportation could buy and install advanced wrong-way driving technology along the state's highways and roads. Wrong-way driving crashes in Connecticut tripled in 2022, with 13 that resulted in 23 deaths. In Hartford, lawmakers and advocates on both sides discuss a new bill on Friday, one that would allow for a bear hunt and lottery in select Connecticut counties, while also prohibiting both intentional and unintentional feeding. Deep reported 67 home bear entries in 2022. That's a record tally, but those in opposition don't see hunting bears in the forest as a solution. The bill is expected to return to the committee, where it will be reviewed in the coming weeks. Showers with highs in the low 40s. When news breaks, we break in. I'm Jim O'Reilly, 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk.
Your number one buying destination, Central
is a car not a car when it turns into a driveway? And that's what we're doing here at Central Auto Group, home of Ford, Mazda, Hyundai, Volkswagen, and pre-owned in the month of March, putting dreams in driveways. Ford F-150s, Mazda CX-30s, Hyundai Tucson's, Volkswagen Tiguan's, just to name a few. Central has them all. Central has more cars in stock for immediate delivery. Drive a little and save a lot. If you want to sell your car, Central will pay you cash. Regardless of your credit, Central Auto Group works the hardest to get you approved. Shop 24-7 at CentralAutoGroupCT.com. Exit 28 off I-395 in Plainfield.
Your number one buying destination, Central Auto Group.
Hi, this is Nick Kaplanson with a message about community banking. If you're a business owner, have you considered banking locally? By doing so, you'll get the benefits of working with lenders who understand your market because they live and work in the same community you do. And because of this, decision-making can be done quickly and efficiently, making it easier for your business to get to work. By working together, communities can thrive. We're glad to do our part.
Dime Bank, community banking lives here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Real Estate Radio, Chaz Cook of the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate, your number one team per the CTMLS for transactions in all of 2022, and we are out and running in 2023 the same way we left off. And tagging in for the second half of the show, everyone's favorite realtor, Mr. Ryan Casey. What's up, Ryan guy?
It's good to be back. I know a lot of people were upset. I got a lot of calls like, where are you? I said, I'm doing the One and Team work out there for the people, by the people.
Had to show some houses this Saturday morning.
Had to show some houses, and still getting after it.
Well, I am glad you're here because I do not like trying to get through all the under contracts and closings in one breath without flubbing my words like I am ridiculously doing right now.
Because
we've got the One Team Weekly Rewind coming up, brought to you by Service Station Equipment, your residential tank specialist. So if you've got an underground tank, you got a tank that kind of looks a little shabby, make sure you call Service Station Equipment 1-800-801-TANK and ask for Dougie. Dougie will come out there, he will assess your tank, he will get the right permits in place, and he will get it either swapped out or removed. And also, I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. I think we're about 6 weeks away from people starting to need that Irish Springs pool water. What do you got a pool at your house, right, guy?
I don't have a pool at my house. My parents have one up in the promised land of Rhode Island. But we're thinking about it. We're not there yet. We got,
North Franklin's not that far from Rhode Island. You could always have call Irish Springs Pool Water, get some of that secret tapped pool water that they deliver to all of their customers. Again, that number is 1-800-801-TANK, and just ask for Dougie and tell him that the One Team sent you, and he will take good care of all of your residential tanking needs or hook you up with some Irish Springs Pool Water. How'd our week look this week, Ryan Guy? Pretty solid week.
We had a pretty solid week. I always take weather into account. It was pretty good. A couple windy days, but that didn't slow anything applicants, right? But we had three listed, 11 under contract, and 9 closed.
In our three listings, we only had two agents bring us all three of our listings. The first one was 440 West Spring Street, unit number A. That hit the market for $220,000. It was brought to us by Heidi DeRusso. And I'm going to spare you too many of the details on that one because it is already under contract. So congrats to Heidi on getting that one listed and under contract. They say that this market is slowing down, but we are not seeing that.
Yeah, I believe she had two open houses. It was pretty intense, all the showing. So, but, you know, people, I tell my buyers, you got to get out there, right? It's like the lottery. You got to play to win. You got to go see the house in order to put an offer in.
That is right. I mean, you got taxes just over $4,300. What are we looking at for HOA fees here? About $300 a month too. So that is a good deal right there for a newly updated townhouse with public water, public sewer. HOA is $300 a month. So keep your eye out on that West Spring Street or head on over to the oneteamct.com website to see all of our listings. Our next new listing, I'm just going to go ahead and turn this one over to you. 114 Cove Street in New Haven, Connecticut, hit the market for $1.895 million. Right, guy, this is your listing. What do you got to tell us?
It can all be yours if the price is right. So basically, this is an amazing property on the waterfront of New Haven. And what's kind of crazy about this is when you think about waterfront property in Connecticut, the houses always face south, like the Long Island Sound, right? This water view, and it's ocean water view, faces north. So when you step outside onto the deck, you got the in-ground pool, you got water, you have your own little private beach. You're looking at the skyline of New Haven, right? So you don't really see that too often. When you go to, Chaz, I've been to hundreds of ocean houses.
Waterfront houses.
Thank you. We're both loving. We just kind of see water. This has a view. So, and it's also right near Anthony's Ocean View.
Anthony's. Yep.
Yep. Right over there.
Place. Yep. Restaurants. Wedding.
That's what we're talking about. And what's interesting, and you know, this house has been on the market for several times, and I know that this year is going to be different. Well, this spring, we'll say, it will be different because 2 years ago, when it was last on the market, we didn't have a Vela. All right, and I go by Tweed Airport often. It is packed. So when you look at this property, I just don't want you to think, hey, maybe I could live here. You want to think about an Airbnb situation. Mm-hmm. There is no place for all these people when they land. They're here for business, from Florida, Nashville now, South Carolina. They have nowhere to go. So if you want to purchase this as an Airbnb, I mean, it'll be packed during the summer. Take a look. There's a movie theater, wine bar. You have an in-ground pool. It's amazing. But during the winter, too, people need to go somewhere. And this isn't too shabby of a place. So check it out. I don't want to get into too much because we got a lot more other houses. 114 Cove in New Haven. And look, if you're interested, you know, my number's on there. Or if you have an agent you want to bring there, yours truly will be present at each and every listing. So if you want to know if this smooth, silky voice matches the face, which it already does, I can tell you, go ahead and make an appointment.
So 114 Cove, again, that one listed by Ryan Casey. That is Ryan at oneteamct.com. Could be great for a snowbird. Could be great for somebody who travels into the New Haven area for business and wants a place to rest their head. Or it could be a great Airbnb property.
And let me tell you this. You look at this house. You know, we're asking, call it 1.9. Yeah. To build this house today, double, easily twice the amount. The seller put so much, I don't want to say, put so much love and effort and thought behind it that this house is it's amazing.
The first half of the show, we had builder Phil Bowman on from Pinnacle Land Development, and he was basically saying the same thing in one of our breaks. You know, you can't build a house 3,000 square feet for $500,000, right? It's just not affordable for the builders to be able to get those products, even if you are kind of, let's just say you're going with a base package, right? No upgrades. A $500,000 house on the water in New Haven, there's no way between FEMA standards and permits and zoning and all of the things you need to take into account to do that you're going to be able to do that for less than $2 million. But we got one more new listing coming up, 578 Durham Road in Guilford, Connecticut. This is also a Heidi DeRusso listing. It hit the market for $425,000. You've got a 2,400 square foot colonial with 4 bedrooms, 2 full baths. Oh, and you've got a finished basement as well. Taxes sitting right around $7,200, so not too terrible there. But it's turnkey, man. It's a lovely, well-cared-for home. You got 1.5 acres and bright and early mornings as the sun brightens every corner of this stunning colonial. Ooh, I like that.
Oh, Heidi. What a writer.
What a writer.
That's what we call Heidi Shakespeare.
ChatGPT couldn't even have done what that did right there.
Not at all.
All right, so under contracts, I'm going to do this because Rye Guy's still getting settled in here.
No, I got him. All right, yeah, absolutely.
Run with it.
That's all I have to live for every week. So under contract, these were the towns where we got a house under contract. Those were in the towns of Guilford, Naugatuck, Enfield, Middletown, Norwich, Middlebury, West Haven, Wallingford, Brantford, Madison, and Hamden. And then we had 9 close-ins. Congrats to our buyers, sellers, and investors. Those would be in the hometown of North Brantford, Hamden, Colchester, Manchester, Stratford, Middletown, Meriden, Berlin. I mean, you might as well just put New Canaan, Canaan, North Canaan, Hamden, Haddam. You know,
line them all up. All right. Open houses going on today. Right now in the middle of the show, we've got 705 Hartford Road in Salem, Connecticut from 11 to 1 p.m. That is again today, Saturday, March 11th. 705 Hartford Road in Salem, Connecticut from 11 to 1 p.m. You've also got an opportunity to go check out 578 Durham Road in Guilford. That's that new listing we just talked about, that beautiful colonial, from 1230 to 1:30 today. So you got an hour slot there right after the show wraps. Shoot on over and see Heidi at 578 Durham Road in Guilford, Connecticut. And if you can't make it today, you've got an opportunity again to go and see 705 Hartford Road in Salem, Connecticut from 11 to 1. A nice 2-hour window there on Sunday. And another opportunity to see 578 Durham Road in Guilford, Connecticut from 11:30 to 1:30 on Sunday, March 12th. That is going to do it for this week's One Team Weekly Rewind, brought to you by Service Station Equipment. And Rye Guy, I know you got a lot going on in the real estate world. You were busy this morning, but we're kind of up against the break here. So we're going to let you kind of stew on that and put your stories together so that when we come back, you can break it all down for us.
Gather around, kids.
On Real Estate Radio 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk.
Hey, how's work?
Well, I was teaching civics. The kids were giving me the fourth degree. Was a UFO seen hovering over Washington, D.C.? Was a fisherman attacked by a 320-pound shrimp? They'd been bitten by the fake news bug, all right, and it was holding on like a driver's ed student to a steering wheel. How was I going to get a bunch of wide-eyed kids to wise up about what they see on the internet? Then it hit me, like a dodgeball on field day. The name of the game was News Swoops. Each student got an article and 2 minutes to decide if it was credible or a fake. They were able to use fact-checking sites to get the cold, hard truth. Now the little hotshots are even teaching their gullible grannies a thing or two about phony news. But how was your day?
Pretty good. I got a new title today, Team Birthday Planner.
Oh, fun.
Teachers have better work stories. If you want a creative, collaborative job worth talking about, head to teachconnecticut.org. Brought to you by teachconnecticut.org.
Helping local businesses grow and thrive and making our community a better place is the all-new Shoreline Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram in Old Saybrook. And today they're featuring
the Connecticut Gay and Lesbian Chamber. The CTGLC provides valuable business development opportunities, financial access, and educational resources. Their focus is to grow your business, whether large or small. The Connecticut Gay and Lesbian Chamber is committed to increasing membership, enhancing member benefits, giving back to our community, and to create exciting new events throughout the year. CTGLC is the voice of hundreds of LGBT-owned businesses. Join them at their monthly agenda of events. They want your business to succeed and grow. For more information, go to ctglc.org.
Powered by the all-new Shoreline Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram, your Southern Connecticut car dealer. They are the dealership with the cars. 255 Middlesex Turnpike, Old Saybrook, or shorelinecdjr.com.
Your number one buying destination,
Central Auto Group.
When is a car not a car? When it turns into a driveway, and that's what we're doing here at Central Auto Group, home of Ford, Mazda, Hyundai, Volkswagen, and pre-owned in the month of March. Putting dreams in driveways. Ford F-150s, Mazda CX-30s, Hyundai Tucson's, Volkswagen Tiguan's, just to name a few. Central has them all. Central has more cars in stock for immediate delivery. Drive a little and save a lot. If you want to sell your car, Central will pay you cash. Regardless of your credit, Central Auto Group works the hardest to get you approved. Shop 24-7 at CentralAutoGroupCG.com. Exit 28 off I-395 in Plainfield.
Your number one buying destination.
Central Auto Group. Work it, make it, do it.
Real Estate Radio, Chaz Cook and Ryan Casey of the One Team at William Ravis Real Estate, your number one team wire to wire in 2022 per the CTMLS for total transactions. And we are out and running this year in 2023, even though we have seen a little bit of volatility in the market. We still continue to get out there to provide the best possible service for our clients, you know, and we've had an action-packed show here, right, guy? First half, while you were out showing some houses, we had Nicole Wyatt, our founder, talking about the Sarah Project. We had Phil Bowman of PinnacleLandDevelopment.com, PinnLandDevelopment.com, telling us about some of the challenges he's experiencing with the building process and also filling us in on a little project that he does that for every home that they build, they work with an organization to plant 100 trees somewhere in the United States, trying to give back. One of the really interesting things is they look at it geographically. So what's a part, he mentioned the Pacific Northwest, that's a part of the country where they have a lot of fir trees and things that they will actually use for building. So they start to build there so that we then have lumber and resources to continue building. Because we are still at a huge deficit in terms of new construction homes, and we have been since 2006, call it.
Yeah, it's been quite some time. And you kind of said right as we opened up the segment how, you know, even regardless of the market and what's going on, we still kind of find ways to, well, not find ways, but we work hard and put a lot of effort into to get the deals done. It's kind of like, I know Cooper is a big movie guy. You ever see There Will Be Blood? Yeah, you know, There Will Be Blood, right? So they tried to sell off the, people try to buy, what's his name in the, in the movie, Daniel Day-Lewis's character, I'm something to do, and this is my boy, you know, whatever. So the guys go up to him, they like, we want to buy this piece of land. And Daniel Day-Lewis's character says, well, what would I do with myself? I don't know what I, Daniel Plainview. Daniel Plainview. And they said, you know, because what would I do with myself? I don't know what to do, right? And that's kind of like how it is with real estate, I think, for us. Like, it doesn't matter, you know, what's going on in the market, you know, like, we only know one way, and it's, you know, it's doing
solve problems,
working hard, this and that. You know, if the market changes or things happen, interest rates go up, we can complain and moan as much as we want. It's not going to change anything, right? I hear it all the time through realtors. They just kind of like, they kind of complain. I'm like, hey, it is what it is. Now, how can I represent my clients the best by, you got to go with the change. You got to kind of go with the flow. But I did say last week, Chaz, and I got to be a man of my word. All right, because my word is everything. I said last week on this radio show that I had not had any buyers drop since the increase of the interest rate. I said that I haven't had as many calls, but I said no one's left me yet. No one's like that. I've been looking.
Nobody renewed that lease and decided to rent for another year.
Yeah, well, I had three people. When I was showing houses, but they weren't really that long that I was showing them houses for. Maybe 2 months the most. And they said to me, I think we're going to wait. We got the text, you know, hi, Ryan. Thank you so much. I think we're going to wait until the market calms down. And I always say to the clients in that situation, hey, you know what? You have to do what is best for you. And that's what I want. But I always say, you know, I remember when COVID happened, remember in 2020, they're like, these prices are crazy. I'm going to wait until the market comes down. And all of a sudden, the market went bananas. You know, these prices went even higher. Interest rates are even higher. So sometimes when it's when you're waiting for stuff to calm down, you actually maybe could be at a very calm point. But what happens is when the rates go up and people, things get a little bit tighter, you know, what are you going to do? You have to take the bench. That's what the government, the federal government wants. They want people to take a seat.
Let me ask you about that. So, this is a conversation that everybody on our team is having. This is a conversation you're having, I'm having with our clients. You know, I understand waiting till the market calms down, but realistically, what does that mean? Does that mean interest rates to come down? Does that mean inventory to go up? Does that mean competition to slow down? Because they're all essentially driving each other, right?
Right.
Rates come down, competition goes up.
Yeah.
People are locked in at 3% or less, not interested in selling because why would they want to go and pay 6 or 7%? So, well, one, I guess I would ask, you know, in your opinion, how long do you think it would take for some sort of a market correction in terms of inventory?
Right.
Two, what is the best advice you could give a client who is on that fence and deciding, do we wait until things calm down, whatever that means, because it's going to be different to each person individually, you know, like, where are you kind of going with that?
Well, so what I do with my clients first off is when they kind of say, hey, you know, we want to buy a house, we are kind of nervous with the rates, and I said, well, we got to get your numbers first. And then I have to go out, because when you're first meeting someone for the first time and they don't know who I am, right? And, you know, I can tell them, hey, look, we're going to see houses.
They're a 94.9er, they know who you are.
Yes, they do. but if they want to go see a house and I tell them, hey, guys, you know, let's say we walk the house by ourselves, there's no one else shows up, just us, I go, hey, guys, we're probably going to have to go about $20,000 over this house. I'm like, what? Yeah, I just met you. There's no one else here. There isn't. So usually you have to get the number and then I can explain them to the best of my knowledge of how this market works, but you have to just go through it yourself and you have to start to see what we're talking about. So that's what I tell them all the time. Get your number, let's go see something. And if you don't feel like,
now is it get your number you're comfortable at or get your number that is your absolute ceiling and try and find something in between? Cause obviously finding your comfort zone in this current market that we're in, the current market that we've been in for the last couple of years, is a little bit more challenging than having to push more towards that ceiling.
Right. So what I do in that situation is I always say, give me the number you don't want to spend. What's your monthly payment? And you're not going to go any higher. This is the number we're sticking to, right? And then if they, you know, we see houses and their monthly payment is not going to be able to meet that house, then they start to get a feel like, oh man, what we want to buy is not out there at the budget that we want to do. Now, if there's situations where they find a house they love and it goes past it, I said, well, you know, obviously talk to the loan officer and see what other options we have or what we can do. But, you know, going back to the previous question, I was like, well, what would make them feel more comfortable? Is it inventory? I think it's the rates. I think rates is what makes people feel the most or least comfortable. Because as far as inventory, there's always going to be houses that come on till the end of time, right? You're always going to have houses. I mean, it's not as much as we want them to.
But there's going to be a necessity. Somebody's moving. Somebody's having a second or third child. They need a bigger space.
So they know. So they can expect waking up and seeing a couple houses on the market. What they won't wake up to is that, you know, the interest rate drops by a percentage. Or, you know, that's where they don't really have – they have complete no control of. And I think that is what makes them feel comfortable or not comfortable. Because people always have ways of, you know, trying to make things happen and make things work. But in the end, you know, it's going to be, you know, I built my house in 2021. And I looked at the, and maybe I should have done this, but I looked at, I got rid of my my interest rate that I pay and I plugged in the interest rates now. And I was like, oh my God, you know, like this would be a very tough payment for me to make right now. Same exact house, same exact land, no, nothing different. So I get it.
Actually the difference would be that now lumber has come down, but when we were talking to Phil, he mentioned that everything else has kind of come up. So it looks like, oh, we saw this big reduction in the cost of lumber, but windows, you know, he said he's looking at 18 weeks for some certain types of windows to come in and they're at a higher price point. So to build your same house might even have cost you another 10-20%.
I mean, when I knew what I paid for my house, I saw a couple other houses that were built around me. Some of them were smaller in size and they were about the same price. And I mean, there's just so much that's going into it right now. I do have a lot of people still looking. I feel bad. There's certain situations where you know, I'm thinking of one person in my mind right now where I was showing them houses maybe about right around the time of summer of COVID. And they're like, oh, we're going to wait. It wasn't the right time. Mm-hmm. And now their situation has changed where their family is getting bigger and they need to find a house. And we cannot do it to save our lives because it's a very tough price range that they want to
probably right around that median price point.
All right. So you're always going to have people who need to move. They have to. It's going to be a tough situation. So it's always going to be buyers with the rates. There's always going to be sellers. We'll see what starts to happen. You know, there's a couple things on the horizon that maybe we start to see switch.
Hopefully we do start to see some relief in the interest rates. You know, I did a quick search and, you know, a 7.4 interest rate versus a 5.4 interest rate on a median price point, a single family home in the state of Connecticut, median sales price is $375,000. It is a $500 difference between a 7.4 and a 5.4.
Yeah.
So call it 6,000 a year, you know, but even just 500 a month for a family that's growing, right? There's a lot of different variables that come in there. So, you know, we are really hoping to see what the Fed can do to kind of get a hold on this, so to speak, and not keep having this volatility, because those same people you were talking to 3 weeks ago, the rates were 5.9.
Yeah.
Right. They were probably in a much better position than they are now today.
Right.
3 weeks later. And how, you know, I guess this could be a question we could go down a rabbit hole for an entire show about, but how do you navigate that as a consumer, right? I mean, I know we provide them the information. We recommend a great local mortgage broker who can give them a variety of options, you know, increase down payment, you know, all of those different types of things. But just psychologically as a consumer,
yeah,
right, that's got to weigh on you in an immense way.
Well, I think what's happening and what I tell my clients is that, you know, right off the bat, the best way I can tell if this is the market for a buyer or not is I ask them, do you plan to be here less than 5 years in this house? And they say, yes. I'm like, don't put an offer on this house. We got to find something that's sitting that you can come in lower. Because if you're going to go higher, you're going to lose money within 5 years.
Right.
That's the biggest thing, right? Trust me, I overpaid for my house, but I'm not leaving my house for a very, very long time. So I'm okay if the market goes up, down, sideways.
That was your 20-year house.
That's my 20-year house. So I'm good to go, right? And that's you're going to be staying put for a little bit if you are going to purchase in this market.
Absolutely. So we're going to continue, guys, to monitor all of this to bring you, you know, some builders. We're going to talk to Pat Kenny when he gets back from wherever he's been hiding out these last few weekends.
He's pumping all the gas out into the road so no one can buy it.
So nobody can buy it. Byron will be back with us in a couple of weeks. So we're going to continue to bring different perspectives. We're going to have some of our mortgage partners come on here. So for all of your real estate news, make sure you are tuning in every Saturday to Real Estate Radio. And Rad Guy, that's going to do it for us. So we will catch you next Saturday with a fresh new episode of Real Estate Radio 94.9 News Now and Stimulating Talk.
Buick GMC Studios, WJJF, Montauk, Ledyard, Mystic.